Let's remind ourselves of some of last night's survey results in relation to religion now. We asked all 1,012 who took part in the survey in Northern Ireland how often they attended religious ceremonies, apart from special occasions like weddings and funerals.
More Catholics than Protestants attend church at least once a week. People in Belfast are less likely to be worshipping weekly than people in the rest of Northern Ireland. And in terms of age, there's a big difference between under 50s and over 50s attending weekly across Northern Ireland. According to our survey, 13% of Catholics and 31% of Protestants in Northern Ireland say they never go to church. Arlene Foster, 31% of Protestants say they'll never go to church?
They're not really Protestants then, really. Because if you don't practice your faith, you're not of faith, so... You know, they may be brought up. It should be really brought up as Protestants because they're not really practicing their faith.
Well, what do we make of that? Paul, morning to you.
Hello. Well, I was brought up in Tocmona Estate, so I would consider myself as part of the Protestant sort of community, and I would put that type of thing down on census papers and any other questionnaires. But both my daughters have... married Catholics. One of them is married a Catholic and she lives in Donegal, and I never go to church. So I'm quite happy that I'm not a Protestant anymore. I can put down on any forms that I have to fill out neither, which I've always wanted to do, but I always felt I had to put down Protestant because I came from that community.
So Arlene Foster believes you're not a Protestant if you don't go to church.
I don't care. I couldn't care less whether I'm a prod or not. If she says I'm not a Protestant, that's great. I can put down neither when I fill out a form. And I can say, if anyone asks me, I can say Arlene Foster says I'm not. So I'm quite happy with that. So what, and I do consider myself neither, really. So, hello?
Yes, no, I'm listening to you, Paul.
The only thing I would like to say, I've the one daughter living in Donegal, and I consider myself fairly neutral. I have a great loyalty to Ireland and Britain, and our family has a holiday house in Donegal. But I would like to point out some of the disadvantages of living over the border. Our electricity bills for the holiday house in Donegal is higher than for here at home, and yet we're only there weekends and short periods of time. There's water rates. You have to pay for your rubbish to go. My daughter, if she goes to the doctor, it costs her a fortune. If you go end up in casualty, it costs you something like €100. If you call the fire brigade, it's about €500 to call the fire brigade. So the temptation would be there if something happens is to try and get the hose out and put it out yourself.
Thank you, Paul. Morning, Norman.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, Arlene Foster is absolutely right on what she says. People who do not go to church, they're a heathen. They're not Protestants. They're heathens. They don't.
So they're not Protestants at all if they don't go to church?
They're not Protestants.
That's what you and Arlene are saying, is it?
The Protestant faith is protesting against the Church of Rome. That's how it was founded. The Protestant faith believes in God, so it does. We have children going to school that couldn't even tell you the first book of the Bible. Their families are bringing them up on a heathen home. They don't have a Bible in their home. And the only time...
And they're entitled to not have a Bible in their home.
You're denying your children the opportunity for salvation with God.
Yeah, but it's not compulsory, is it?
They're sending their children...
You know, there is a big question for this society that we have in Northern Ireland. How much should religion be affecting politics and politicians? How much should a politician's religious beliefs be dictating the legislation that they're trying to put down into Northern Ireland, which affects everybody, whether they believe in the politician's religion or not?
Stephen,
how much should that actually happen?
Stephen,
should religion not stay out of politics, Norman?
No, Stephen, this country was built on Christian religion, where we hadn't got gay marriage, we hadn't got the Sabbath day done away with. Everything that we see in society today, the lawlessness on our streets, as I told you the other day, paramilitaries who say for God and all, it's not for God. Young ones on drugs and alcohol abuse. This is because the country has taken God out of society, and parents are bringing children up in heathen homes because they don't go to church, they don't send their children to Sunday school or church. And I say it even in my own church.
Okay.
I could count the number of young children in my church.
Norman, thank you. 03030 80 55 55. So do you agree with Arlene Foster from the DUP that you're not a Protestant if you do not go to church? Jerry. Morning, Jerry.
Morning, Stephen. As a member of the Catholic community in Northern Ireland and a unionist voter, there is nothing that would convince me that Donnie Morrison's New Ireland would be better. We made sure this island, in my opinion, it's not about money, it's not about social issues. We made sure this small island, but I feel we have little to nothing in common with the people in the south of Ireland.
Do you?
Absolutely.
Well, if you look at that survey last night, there were quite a few areas where people were thinking in the same way. Very, well, very similar findings across a number of areas.
On social issues, but in general, we have very little in common, like in day-to-day.
But social issues not what actually matter? Are social issues not a big part of your life?
Well, not really, like, no. People live their lives, don't they? They make decisions every now and again with regards to gay marriage and stuff, but in day-to-day life, not really. There's only one thing I would accept, that if the UK and Ireland came one.
Jerry, thank you. Morning to you. What we should probably do now is, for those of you who didn't get a chance to see the telly show last night, let's just remind ourselves of some of the debate from last night's Nolan Live special when we linked up with RTE's Prime Time with Miriam O'Callaghan.
For me, I think this is a very positive poll. It shows that the union is secure and that people are comfortable within the union in Northern Ireland. And I think that this is taken, I think we should remember this, this poll has been taken at a time when devolution, frankly, has been going through some very difficult months. And can you imagine what the result would have been if devolution had been up and working and properly running at that particular time?
I wouldn't get too smug, Arlene Foster, because while the majority of Catholics may be happy in the UK, and remember this is a survey, OK? A survey. They're not voting for you at an election, are you? They're not voting for unionist parties at an election. And maybe that's because you're banging on day and night about flags and identity and you're not banging on about the real life issues that actually matter to people in this country. That's why that survey should be worrying for you.
It's not worrying for me. It's actually very reassuring for me that people
want to vote for you.
Stephen, look, I think it's you that bangs on a lot about flags and emblems, actually, Stephen. If you want me to come on and talk about economic policy,
I didn't
and I've,
do
said,
a graduated
that,
response.
I've said this to you on a number of occasions, the graduate response was a long time ago. If you want me to come on and talk about economic issues, if you want me to come on and talk about education and health and issues, I'm more than happy, as indeed I'm sure everybody's more than happy to come on and talk about those
issues.
It's
a legitimate question,
though,
Arlene. Why do you think Catholics are reluctant? According to this survey, we know that Catholics are happy to remain in the UK, right? Why do you think they're reluctant to vote for parties like yours?
Well, I think that's a challenge. It's a challenge for my party and it's a challenge for other parties
as
well.
Why do you think it is?
Well, traditionally they have voted for nationalist parties because they have identified with nationalist parties in relation to perhaps Catholic issues, in relation to abortion, in relation to same-sex
marriage. So it's their fault.
And we're actually going to talk about those issues later on.
But what are you doing wrong?
Relation to those issues.
How can you reach out to those people more?
Stephen, I don't think we're doing much wrong when you see a poll that tells you that the majority of people living in Northern Ireland are happy to be in Northern Ireland and want to remain part of the United Kingdom. I think that's a very good poll for unionists tonight. So don't turn it around and try to say that this is a negative for unionists. It's not. It's actually a very positive thing for unionists.
So, Piers Doherty, just to say to you, even for people who in their own lifetime want a united Ireland, they're not willing to pay money for that.
Well, I believe in a united Ireland in my heart and in my head. I believe it will make a stronger economy. So they are.
That's not what I asked.
The point I'm making is that that issue doesn't arise in my view, because what we will have is an all Ireland economy. What we will have is the synergies of 6.4 million people on the island of Ireland. We will get rid of two currencies, get rid of two exchange rates, get rid of two employment laws, and you will have a better, stronger economy as a result of it. For therefore, you won't need more tax. When you get rid of two health services, two transport systems, then you have efficiencies, which should lead to less tax for people.
We can argue all night about whether that will happen, but people clearly have a fear and they would perceive that they might end up having to pay more money if there was to be a united Ireland. And this survey indicates that means they wouldn't offer that option.
And I can understand that, because people don't like paying more tax. But, you know, that's understandable. That's the point I'm making, that we need to have a real debate in this. And that's why Sinn Féin have been calling for a green paper on Irish unity. What do the people on this platform who share the aspirations of Irish unity want to do to start that discussion? How would we plan for an Irish unity? What type of structures would we have? What type of rights would we enshrine so that everybody, that we have a proper inclusive society? What type of constitution? What type of parliament? These are the questions that need to be asked. And they're the type of questions that were addressed in Scotland and in Catalonia, and you see a surge in terms of people that that move then in the direction of either independence or unity, in my view, in here in the Irish Republic.
Stephen, I think you're going to come in there and ask Pearce a question, aren't you?
You're doing it again, Pearce. You're asking questions and I'm looking for answers from you tonight. So you tell us, here's the big sell, right? Christmas has come early for you, Pearce. I'm going to give you 1 minute. Sell it to me. So why would a united Ireland, everybody watching across this Ireland tonight, sell a united Ireland in terms of the economic benefits? Go.
Well, first of all, we would get rid of two currencies. We would get rid of two exchange rates.
Well,
you're building an economy. If you look at, for example, the last European country that reunified in terms of Germany, you've seen that the GDP of both East Germany and West Germany increased when it was reunified. So you're going to get rid of that. You're going to get rid of two
health
systems.
How much would we save? Have you numbers behind this? Because no doubt you've thought it through. So sell this tonight. A united Ireland would benefit us economically by how much?
There is no numbers there. And one of the things that we are arguing for is that the British...
There's no numbers there.
That the British Exchequer would actually release the numbers in relation to the subvention to the North, but also in terms of the income that is raised in the North at this point in time, because the numbers aren't accurate. But Stephen, what you're trying to say is...
I think Arlene Foster wants to speak to you, Pearce. Let her speak to you.
Well, the subvention is £9.8 billion that we receive in terms of our block grant.
And what Pearce...
A year, yes. Pearce is asking us to leave an economy of 60 million people to go into an economy of 6.4 million people, and that's somehow going to make better economic sense for the people of Northern Ireland.
So just in case someone, and I hope you're not spinning me, I hope this is accurate. So in case people didn't get that, you're saying we get 9.8
billion in
per
subvention.
Year yes. Subvention over and above.
Yes, that's the difference between the taxes and what we actually get. That's the figures from the Treasury, Her Majesty's Treasury. Those figures are available. I mean, David...
I was going to say 10 billion. I'll not fight with you from 9.8.
Yeah.
So that's just some of last night's show. 0-30-30-80-55-55 if you are picking up the phone this morning. There were some other stuff, by the way, that we didn't have time to get into. Survey questions. If you want to go onto the BBC's website, bbc.co.uk. Nolan Live. The whole question about Europe was in there. Stay or leave the European Union. 71% of the Republic of Ireland, 55% of Northern Ireland. And then the breakdown is in there. That's 71% Republic of Ireland said stay, 55% Northern Ireland said stay, 13% Republic of Ireland said leave, 13% Northern Ireland said leave. And look at the don't knows. Well, in the Republic of Ireland, 16%, but in Northern Ireland, 32% said didn't know when asked whether they wanted to stay or leave the European Union. That's one issue, of course. You will get a chance to vote on in Northern Ireland over the next couple of years. There's a referendum, of course, on European membership.